We welcome to the program this weekend Jemmy Evans. Jemmy is heading up a project called Project Kenton Declassified with the tagline, Capturing the History Before It's Forgotten. Jemmy, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Now, I say you're heading up this project. You do have a partner in this as
well.
Yeah,
Ken Newman. Ken Newman and myself have put this little project together, kind of a labor of love for us because, we heard a lot of stories from our grandparents and great-grandparents growing up and was really interested in the history of Kenton. So our grandparents are no longer with us, and our parents know some of the stories, but not all of the stories, and even ones I had heard when I was younger have been forgotten. Mm-hmm. So what I wanted to do, what Ken wanted to do, was kind of get these stories onto video, get them recorded, so the history of the town, the memories of the people here aren't forgotten. Everything that we gather, we're going to put on video, and it'll be available on YouTube. All the pictures, all of the clippings, all of the information we get is going to be given to the museum and the library as well. But yeah, we just wanted to make sure that the history of this town, the memories of the people aren't forgotten. So we have had such an outpouring of people coming forward with stories, with memories, with pictures, that the original hour and a half video we was going to do has turned into more of a mini series project. We just have so much information coming in, we don't know what to do with most of it. But we will gladly take it. We have an email address. It's kentondeclassified@gmail.com. And Ken and myself we check that all the time. So if you have anything you want to contact us with, send us pictures or whatever, or get a hold of us, we'll be glad to meet with anyone and shoot video, listen to your stories, gather pictures. This is just something we really want to do for the community. Mm-hmm. Because younger generations aren't going to know anything if we don't keep it alive, and my memory's not that great, so I'm not going to remember all these stories people's telling us. It's just something kind of dear to our hearts that we want to do.
It's interesting. It started small. I mean, you started this on a small level. And then the more people you started talking to, maybe they put you in contact with somebody else, and mm-hmm. kind of a snowball effect there. And all of a sudden you're inundated with stories and even pictures. You have, yep. You have quite a bit of pictures.
I do. We got so many contacts and so many people coming forward that, one person had mentioned, you know, you want to give this as much as a life as you can. Mm-hmm. So let's try to do it the best quality you can with the best equipment you can, so it can be preserved for longer. So we put together some proposal letters and pitched some businesses in town and got some monetary help to upgrade all of our equipment to 4K. So we are capturing, you know, what seems to be the best quality video and sound right now. Quest Credit Union came through for us in a big way, helping us upgrade all of our equipment. So we're really thankful to them. But
I think if people think about the time and effort, Jimmy, that it takes, because if somebody says something to you, hey, I remember this at such a time and such a place, you don't just take their word for it.
No.
Take it to the next level.
Yeah, I've spent many hours at the library. Sam's been helping me a lot with the microfilm. And we try to gather newspaper clippings or pictures to corroborate any stories we hear. Mm-hmm. So we can put them together with the people's stories that we have on video and you know, put some depth and put some life into it and kind of just prove to people, you know, that this did happen. Here's the evidence of it. These memories are real. You know, grandmas and grandpas know what they're talking about. They've been around. Let's listen to them.
Yeah, exactly right. But you know, the older generation, while they're still capable of telling you, and this is the time to reach out to them.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, if there's anybody listening that wants to get a hold of me, feel free. I'm all ears.
There's a lot of stories, myths, and some are facts. I mean, mm-hmm. you probably have encountered both.
Yeah. We've heard numerous stories about the International Brotherhood of Magicians being in Kenton. Mm-hmm. We've heard stories of tunnels under the streets. We've seen pictures and articles of fires, all kinds of fires in Kenton that I never knew we had an opera house in Kenton that burnt down. Mm-hmm. And supposedly the piano from the opera house is still sitting in the armory to this day.
Really?
So that was pretty cool to learn. I had no idea about that. Ed Rogers has been a big help taking us through the armory and letting us know everything he knows. There's several other guys in town with a lot of pictorial history that's really been lending a hand and letting me go through all of their stuff to see if I could find pictures to corroborate some of these stories. So a big thanks to them. They know who they are.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not just as easy as sitting and recording somebody telling a story.
Exactly.
We want to do this the right way and make sure that everything's corroborated. Everything, you know, if you got something that sounds outlandish, like a myth or something, we'll listen to that too. And we'll do our hardest to figure out if it's true or not. You know, I'm not saying that there's many myths out there that about Kenton that aren't true, because I've learned a lot of strange things recently. But yeah, get a hold of me. Let's talk.
The downtown is going through a revitalization project. So the sense of urgency for this, Jimmy, it ramps up a little bit because of that, because you don't want, for instance, tunnels under the downtown. You don't care if those are filled in. You don't care if those are closed off, but whatever's in there, you want preserved.
Right. Get it to the, let's look and see what's under there. You know, if there's anything, let's get it to the museum. Let's get it to the library, you know, whatever. Let's make sure that it's documented. Let's make sure that we don't just lose it because we're trying to get the project done and we're in a hurry, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm all for the revitalization, but let's not cover up history.
Yeah.
Let's record it, document it, and then finish the project.
Yeah. And then years from now, somebody can tell another story.
Right.
Exactly right. This project first came to my attention when I did a story about Kroger. So mm-hmm. we all know they closed, and I credited them with 63 years. And the only reason I did that was because of what the corporate office told me about. Only three locations, but there were other locations for Kroger, and you had pictorial evidence of that.
Yeah, there's been at least five in town that I've heard of. Four that I can substantiate, but I've heard of another would be on East Franklin Street where Home Savings and Loan sits now. There was a whole block full of buildings and a very small Kroger store in there. So I've heard. But the Kroger's was definitely at 11 North Detroit in Kenton. I have pictures of that. And it was well into the mid-20s and into the 30s. It was at that location. I've had a lot of people come and tell me, I remember it there. We would go to Kroger's every Saturday, and you couldn't shop in there. You went to the clerk and told them what you wanted. You gave them your list, and they went and climbed the ladders and went through the aisles and got it for you. So that was pretty interesting to know.
Yeah, that's old school, isn't it?
That is.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, interesting things like that I'm looking for, old stories. Let's hear them.
This sounds like it's been satisfying to you. In other words, it's been something, when you started it, you actually started learning some things, and you seem satisfied knowing this is pleasing to you.
It is, very much. I love learning history,
mm-hmm.
Especially of this town, because, you know, I'm in this town. I was born in this town. My kids live in this town. So, yeah, the history of this town is really fascinating to me, and the more I can learn about it, I guess the happier I'll be.
Have you gone through the like the Al Capone, back in that era, we were known as Little Chicago.
Right.
You get a lot of information on that?
I've never had information of Al Capone. I've heard the stories that he's been here, none firsthand. I have had firsthand stories of John Dillinger being in town, mm-hmm. and a lot of people saying that John Dillinger stayed in town, in several places. People say that he had at least three different places here in town that he would stay, the golf course Caddyshack being one of them way back in the day, mm-hmm. and a house down on the south side of town. I've heard stories of his car breaking down outside of town and the townsmen finding out and going out and helping him to a nearby junkyard to get his brakes fixed and his radiator fixed and giving him a place to stay after he robbed the bank.
Really?
On the other side of Lima.
Interesting.
So I don't have a pictorial evidence of that, but I've heard a lot of rumor of that. And the little Chicago name, I guess, would play into people like him being here. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I have heard those myths and those stories, and I'm still trying to substantiate some of them. So if anybody's out there listening has any kind of evidence of Dillinger being around here, that would be great.
Yeah, you'd have to figure that the people that were alive at that time probably no longer with us, but maybe they passed that down to their sons and daughters,
right.
And somebody has pictorial evidence of this.
But, you know, him being a man that really didn't want to leave
this
a trail.
This is true, yeah. This is true.
There may not be anything. Who knows?
That's a valid point. Well, what's been among the most surprising thing that you've learned?
Oh, wow.
Maybe you started it and you weren't expecting it. You go, wow, that's something different. Or maybe you're too early into it. I don't know. It's hard to...
so many things I cannot wrap my mind around yet. The stories I heard about the armory being burnt and where the rubble went. And as I got in there and looked, you know, I found out differently. So it didn't necessarily substantiate the stories that I had heard. But it gave me an answer I wasn't even looking for. Mm. So... yeah, there's just a lot of things that not necessarily is astounding to me, but definitely some surprising things like the tunnels under Kenton. I had been in something under the streets in Kenton. I always called it a tunnel. Then people tell me that where I was, there's no tunnels there, that didn't exist, but I had seen it, so I knew it did. But then other people tell me, yeah, there's tunnels there, and they go all the way over to where the Weaver Motel used to sit. So, and I had never heard that before, so that was kind of surprising that it was actually that extensive. So I guess I'm really not super surprised about things that I'm hearing until I corroborate.
Yeah. You go in thinking it's going to be this way, and you find out
right.
It's a totally different thing.
Right.
That's... That's interesting to you. That's something that you feed on.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of pictures and people live that talk about what Kenton was like in their day. Downtown was bustling.
Mm-hmm.
Businesses were everywhere. People were down there. And I always, they say it's changed. We got to bring that back. But the fact of the matter is downtowns everywhere have changed. That's
mm-hmm.
not exclusive to Kenton. And yeah, there were a lot of activity, a lot of businesses, but those businesses spread out throughout the town over time. And,
yeah.
But you have some pictures. People are just fascinated to see that, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Some of the pictures I have show businesses in every storefront uptown and in every second floor uptown.
Mm-hmm.
There was just tons of things up here. I even had an older lady tell me the downfall of Kenton was when they did away with the diagonal parking. Nobody wants the parallel park, and that's why the businesses left.
Some of that might be true.
So I don't know if I could substantiate
that. I doubt that, but yeah. That's
but, yeah, I mean, there's people that say they don't know anything. I don't really remember Kenton when I was little until I get out all these pictures that people are giving me, and then that opens the floodgates, and they, oh, yes, I remember this store.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Isley's. I remember... Yeah. The hamburger shop. I remember all the buildings on the south side of the square and the Homestead restaurant. And and the Derby Bar, you know, all these places that I never even really knew existed. And people looking at these pictures and saying, oh, I remember when you could go in the businesses, in the sub-levels, in the basements of these buildings, and you could access them from the sidewalk area. And it was barbershops and smoke shops and cigar stores. And that was kind of amazing to me that there was even businesses in the basements of these buildings uptown.
Yeah.
And there's stairways under the sidewalks where you could access all of the sub-levels of the businesses. So I have to say that might be one of the most surprising things mm-hmm. for me, that there was 3 and 4 stories worth of businesses around the square. And I'm just sad to see it the way it is now. Yeah. I wish businesses would come back.
It worked because, you know, you could park.
Yeah.
Apparently, diagonal park made it easy. And then just walk around and everything you needed was right there around the square. And by the way, Kenton's downtown is unique to most towns. I mean, mm-hmm. We have a square, yeah. basically.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of stories of Kenton being a Saturday night town,
mm-hmm.
where there was, you know, you could go watch a movie, and then almost any weekend, way back in the teens, 20s, 30s, even 40s, there was some kind of a gala or a dinner going on at the Armory, and town, everybody in town was welcome to that, you know, buy a ticket, see a show, and go to the dinner at the Armory. And there was, for the teens, there was teen clubs, and Teen Canteen was one of them, where you could just go and dance, and it was like a sock hop type deal. So these are things that I never knew existed. I never knew Kenton was known as a Saturday night town, where everybody from neighboring communities would come here, and, you know, Kenton was the place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to see the pictures and hear the stories of that time and make sure that they live longer, the stories live longer, so my kids get to hear about them, my grandkids get to hear about them. So that's kind of what we're doing here.
You don't have to be that old. I'd like to think I'm not that old, but even at my age, I do remember the downtown mm-hmm. stores. And there was one in particular called the Bar Store. It was a five and dime.
I remember the Bar Store.
Right there on Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And in the basement, you go in. The first level was general merchandise. They did have a candy counter. Remember that well. And you go down in the basement section, there were toys.
Yep.
So when I was a boy, that's where I headed, past the candy, down to the toys.
Yep.
That's all gone. It's sad, but really, honestly, downtowns everywhere have redefined themselves.
I remember going down to those toys in the basement
mm-hmm.
when I was young, and they seemed to be the oldest toys in the world. But I loved going down there.
Didn't matter. Well, see, they were new for me then.
Maybe it was same stock.
That's what it was. I don't remember buying much. Maybe that's why they weren't there. But boy, you got the chance to play with
right.
them.
Right, you could hand them all different. Out. You could play with them. It was fun.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I remember the Woolworth store. That was
I do not remember that history. Store. I have pictures of it.
It is a parking lot now, right mm-hmm. across the street from our radio station. And yep. That's where I went in to buy music. Whatever songs I would buy, that's where I bought my records and everything. It was right there at the Woolworth store. So it's sad that's gone. But like I say, downtowns have redefined themselves basically mm-hmm. everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And I just don't want to lose the history that was here
right.
and the way it was. It's okay if it changes, but let's not forget the way it was. Mm-hmm. Let's not bulldoze it and never, you know, never know that there was a Woolworth store over there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't remember it. I had heard about it. I had seen the empty building.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the store. And my kids definitely have no idea that there was a store there.
Yeah, there was a food counter. You could buy food in there.
Right.
And, it was quite the store at the time.
And there was even little lean-tos on the sides of some of these buildings that had businesses in them.
Mm-hmm.
There was a shoe polish place
mm-hmm.
and a place where you could buy boiled peanuts and a newspaper down on the South Detroit here and on the side of the surplus store. And a lot of people don't know. I seen a picture of that and I said, what is that little shed there? Like, yeah. That's not a shed. That's the peanut guy.
I love that. That's great stories. But I think it is nice. I think the people and the people in the positions where they are intent on preserving our downtown
mm-hmm.
and it's the historic downtown district. that's great to see that we want to preserve our history. The armory was preserved instead of torn down. It could have easily been demolished.
Right.
What a shame that would have been.
Right. Yeah, after their fire in 1917, they didn't want to rebuild it.
Mm-hmm.
But the community came together and said, you know, let's work on this. And then again, when they was going to demolish it, what, 20, 30 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and Ed Rogers stepped up and the rest of the community backed him, and they saved it again. And I just think that that's going to happen more and more with the decay of some of these buildings uptown. And it's okay if buildings get torn down if they need it. But if they can be saved, let's save them. Why not? You know, they're already there. Let's remember the history of them before we tear them down, or fix them back up and maybe highlight the history of them with the new businesses. I know there's a bakery on the east side of the square now, and I found pictures of it being a bakery in 1918.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually have my pictures now of that being a bakery, and they said they was gonna highlight that it was a bakery 100 years ago too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So I just thought that was kind of cool that they're gonna actually highlight some of the history of the building, and with pictures and maybe newspaper clippings or whatever, but, you know, let's not forget it. Yeah. It's okay if it moves on, just let's not forget what was.
And if somebody has pictures to show, you've talked to a lot of people in the town.
I have.
But our audience may be reaching retired people living somewhere else, mm-hmm. Maybe in Florida, wherever you may be listening to us right now, be it on air, online, or podcast. If you have pictures of Kenton and you want to share those, how do we get a hold of Jimmy Evans?
You could use the email, which is KentonDeclassified@gmail.com. That's the best way to get pictures to me. Or you could give me a call. The number is 567-674-8399. We could talk on the phone. We could meet in person. It's really up to you. But, yeah, I will listen and I will look at whatever you have.
And what kind of a time frame are you planning here, Jimmy, to have some videos together and people can view? I mean, this is going to be time consuming, but
it is. And we was kind of looking at maybe spring, mm-hmm. Late winter or spring of actually putting some content out, just because it is time consuming and we know that everybody's kind of busy right now with Thanksgiving coming up and Christmas coming up, so we're not pushing real hard to talk to people right now because we know they got family coming in, they're traveling. And with the ever-present COVID, some people just don't want to get together right now, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not on a really strict timeline. I mean, the only people doing the project is myself and Ken Newman. So we have no one to answer to. So we're just kind of at our leisure. Mm-hmm. Nobody's pushing us for a deadline or a goal, which is great. So, you know, we're not in a hurry. Give people time. You know, we've talked to a few people several times because they'll call and say, oh, I remember this, or, you know, have something else to share with us about a new picture that we got from someone else that they had seen that we had. So, you know, we're not on a super strict timeline, just going day by day almost.
Yeah, there you go. I like that. But really, honestly, you think about the holiday season, people tend to get a little more sentimental.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they do reflect a little more on the past. Maybe this would be a great time for them to think about that and
talk to family members.
Talk to family, exactly. And then get a hold of Jimmy or Ken, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you guys will take it from there. So
definitely.
I mean, you started this, did you think, man, this will never really take off, but here you are.
No, I never planned that it would be anything more than a fun thing for my kids to look back on.
Mm-hmm.
We was, you know, going to have copies of it to show our kids and maybe put it on YouTube thinking someone might want to see it. But the more support we're getting and the more people asking, when can I see your project? When is it going to be done? I would love to give you things to add to this and when can I see it? So it's going to be a little bit bigger of a deal than just putting it on YouTube and just so our kids could see it. So I haven't actually talked to the owners of the theater yet, but I would love to do some kind of a premiere there, and just so people could come and get together and see it and maybe talk about memories together and something. But that's for future. That's just an idea that popped up recently, but that's for something months in the future. So we're really looking forward to what this is going to turn into.
Yeah.
But it definitely is not what we started. It's grown immensely.
which pleases you, right?
I mean, oh, yeah,
you
know,
because it does mean there's a lot of interest. And there really is. People are fascinated by our history. And we think, you know, like I say, we've heard a lot. I've heard so much. Is that really true or is it not?
Right.
And this project will help back all of that up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can hear somebody somewhere saying, see, I told you that was right.
That's what we're going for.
Exactly right. Jimmy Evans, I thank you very much for taking a few minutes to join us, along with Ken Newman, who probably would love to have been here, but you guys are going to really work hard to get Project Kenton Declassified done. And,
yep.
And the town thanks you. I think it's time we do that.
Good.
Will you keep us up to date?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Give us that email again for people to get some more information to you, or if they just want to say, hey, Jimmy, how do we get a hold of you? Basically, you want an email.
Right. It's KentonDeclassified@gmail.com. All one word, no spaces. KentonDeclassified@gmail.com.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. Again, keep us up to date if you would.
Will do.